Well,
good morning.
It's here.
It's the moment you've all been waiting for.
Hard to believe that this is it. It's been what feels like
Like a long time. So
it feels like weeks.
We had a week where we both kind of had some unexpected dad duty pop up.
We did.
And then it was Memorial Day.
May was tough.
It was a busy, busy time. But Tim, yesterday was not sun. It wasn't. We're not there yet. But yesterday was also tough for you.
Yesterday
was a difficult day.
First service was fine. I popped in the cough drop. Second service, forgot to add in the cough drop, which apparently I need. Fisherman's friend.
Do you preach with a cough drop nonstop?
Only since May, since I've had the flu. The only lingering thing now has been this cough. So I just.
So you're just chipmunking cough drops.
I've been chipmunking cough drop for weeks, but. I forgot to put one in yesterday's second service, and it wasn't really a cough. It was really the title of this episode, which is
throat tickle.
It was a throat tickle. It was about midway through the sermon. I locked eyes with my wife. She saw it. Like, she knew.
Was that?
No, it was a tear. An actual tear, because I was holding it in.
You were doing a full on Tommy Shelton?
And it wasn't even like an emotional
part. Tommy, you watching?
It wasn't even an emotional part of the sermon.
Oh, was it when you were mocking me?
That was later in the
when
sermon.
You were being terrible and rude and
an actual
mean.
Tear came out. So I did this number. And then I noticed if I sucked in my gut, the tickle went away. So for about 10 minutes, I preached sucked in and had to like consciously think about it.
You were clenching
while preaching
the last third of your sermon.
It was a good, I want to say about 12 minutes.
Listen, I've been clenching through a sermon as well, but not for that reason. It's another story for another episode.
It was very difficult. It was very painful. Made it through. A few people noticed. I did ask. I was like, because the front row, they were like, yeah, we saw it. We wanted to hand you your beverage. And I was like, it was empty. I that's why it would have done no good.
Do you bring a beverage on stage?
I do. You don't know my spiel?
I
have the same Jaguar mug that I bring to the stage, and I put it down and turn it logo out. So the Jags logo is out in front of me.
See, I don't, and I have a table. I don't have a tilted podium.
You do.
So I could have any number of beverages. Sunday morning, I have a cup of coffee.
On the table with you?
No.
But it looks good.
But I have a cup of coffee.
You could use that even as a prop.
In the
that
back of the room,
good.
And I have a big old like 30-ounce thing of water.
I need to be taking something up there. That was unbearable. It was very distracting. Like, apparently it was fine for everyone else, but for me, it was very distracting.
Pre-sermon, I finish the coffee, and then I go up there, and I always think, why don't I bring a cup with me? But then I have a Bible and an iPad on the table with me, so I don't know. But
Andrew, it was uncomfortable. It was painful. All that.
CJ says, and now we know the real reason Andrew sits to preach.
It's mainly because yesterday was Sunday.
And this right here
is the morning after.
Welcome to the Morning After Ministry Show, a caffeine-fueled look back on the week and ministry that was.
Listen.
Oh, boy, that was funny. That was funny.
Kicking it super old school with the five-year-old intro slides. Timmy, we have...
Is that cough? I told you.
Is that throat tickle? Do you need a... Do you need some lukewarm coffee or?
I've got gum. I thought maybe the gum would help. Andrew, that was a little bit of a throwback. We'll get into all that. My name's Tim. This is Andrew. Every Monday. Forever. We've never missed.
Except for the past three.
No, that's not true. We were here in spirit. Every Monday, we hang out. We chat the week in ministry that was. Really, let's be honest. Like, this is your time. You get to unplug. You get
I mean,
to.
It's our time too, though.
It's definitely our time. We need this.
Actually, for the first time.
I've missed this.
For the first time in 5 years, Tim, we can say it is our time. As in time owned exclusively by us.
Okay, so we've heard from dozens of you, and by dozens I mean three. Three people.
There were more than three.
Six people reached out and said, what's going on?
It's been several people a week for the past few months.
Dozens of you have reached out. We get it. There was no podcast going. The live feed was still there.
Yeah, we were still doing the Facebook thing.
But there are a number of you who are anti-Facebook. You've boycotted.
Or you don't feel like wasting 40 minutes of your work week in front of the computer looking at us, and so you waste
You'd rather listen on Spotify or listen on...
In the car or wherever it is that you are.
On your Apple Podcasts. So you've been asking, what's going on? What's going on? So, Andrew, It's been a few months since we have uploaded an episode. What has been happening?
Well, what had happened, Timothy?
Oh boy.
Was it had been a few months. We had changed software, so that was part of why the uploads were different. We had some, and I think the new software is wonderful, but it just made things a little bit different there for a little bit. You've been playing quarterback on the controls since about Christmas, and so some things got changed there. And as we were going through those changes, sounds like a puberty talk. Well, once the changes started,
we rehearsed this. This wasn't.
My degree program that I'm going through right now, I moved into the research phase of the program instead of the coursework phase of the program. And
so, what did you do for your research?
Well, Andrew? So I am doing most of my research on digital communities and millennial pastors. And so I reached out to friends at Download Youth Ministry.
I've heard of them.
Where we spent the past 5+ years as a proud.
We were a very proud
part of the DYM podcast network. And I said, hey, this is a big ask. And I realized that because the agreement we entered into in March-ish of 2018 was we owned the audio files.
Sure.
But they owned the RSS feed when they were doing the podcast network.
Technical jargon.
Podcasting was different 5 years ago than it is now.
Thank you, Dr. Larson.
It was cost prohibitive for some people. And so DYM covered all of the cost of hosting for us for 5+ years. And so I had reached out in February, and said, hey, this is the research that I'm doing. A lot of it could be done if I could have access to all of our podcast analytics. So, how do we do this? What does it look like? And so we went back and forth for a while, and then there'd be some breaks as, you know, life got in the way and schoolwork, you know, got busier.
Before you knew it, months had gone by. Before, we hadn't uploaded an episode.
Yeah, we hadn't uploaded an episode because I was hoping to be able to use some of these analytics in my research.
Sure.
And this past week, good old Joshua Griffin and I had a little
more than dodgeball.
Way more than dodgeball. Good friend, mentor, great dude. And
amazing Cavs.
It's ridiculous. I'm very upset about it. But we have now acquired the RSS feed. So for the first time, really, because we never had a podcast that was ours. We did the live show on Facebook, but the podcast has always been a DYM venture, but not anymore, Tim. This is if you look on your Apple Podcasts or Spotify, it no longer says DYM Podcast Network under our name. And that means that I can use a whole lot of the analytics and some of the just data that I'm going to be pulling from the show for my doctoral program at Liberty. But also, we can have really weird ads now.
We can have weird ads.
We're
free.
Hence the Dignity Memorial intro slide.
That was a throwback, if you remember our original sponsor.
No one watched 5 years ago.
Everyone watched five years ago. We're literally talking on the mics that were bought by them.
Yeah, this is very true.
Our only
the only
real
thing
sponsor.
A sponsor has ever actually bought us. But all that said, we're leaving DYM. No, all of our materials up there. But we haven't been youth pastors for the past. Well, you left. I mean, now we're both youth pastors again.
But to say, but technically speaking,
but we left full time vocational ministry. Me in 2017. You in 2019.
We didn't leave vocational ministry.
No, vocational student ministry.
Vocational student ministry.
So it's exciting. They were generous and kind. There's nothing but wonderful things to say about DYM. But, Tim, we own our own show for the first time.
This is it.
In forever.
We have the exclusive rights to the Morning After Ministry show. So get ready.
Yeah, there's going to be ridiculous ads.
We're launching a merch site. There's going to be a Patreon. That requires work, and you know us.
It does. It requires real work. As I was uploading...
If someone wanted to do that for us,
I was uploading 20-plus episodes,
we don't care.
Spotify was like, hey, would you like to make things available for members only? And I was like, no, because that's extra work. But still...
Thanks, Matt.
It is an exciting thing. And
Matt's
it's
excited. He says, congrats, guys.
Yeah, he looks very, very excited. So
Laura says, name of youth ministry, more than it would work. It was a popular blog for a long time.
Very popular blog.
It would absolutely work.
And then there was a web show.
Andrew, he does look like a dude at a coffee shop. with an open mic reading poetry.
I was quoting poetry.
It's why the church has been booming.
To my wife this morning, I was
Andrew's poetry.
Quoting the poetry of LFO. It was, I like the color purple, macaroni and cheese, ruby red slippers and a bunch of trees.
He ends every sermon
call
with
you
an,
up, but what's
with an
use?
Original poem.
I like Kevin Bacon, but I hate Footloose. My wife was not amused either.
Yes, that is our new band name. Clenched Throat Tickle.
So there we have it. That's what's been going on. From now on, all of these episodes should...
And we have our first paid intern, Stephanie Miller's...
There we go.
..interested in running the site.
Look at this t-shirt that you're wearing right now.
We could sell this.
I ordered that from Sticker Mule.
Should we sell like game worn shirts? Like this was worn in episode 235.
We don't need another reason for you to take off your shirt.
I'm not taking off.
We know that you would, Tim. We don't need another reason for it. We're fine.
Steph says, I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. I'll take her if I had
that's
one.
That's what I was just singing. Do you know that two of the three members of LFO are dead? That's terrible.
Was it a plane crash?
No, one had cancer and the other had like an autoimmune disease or something. It was very, very sad.
So it wasn't like a odd plane crash where they ended up in the forest for...
No, that was a different thing, Tim.
18 months.
That's
Yellow Jackets.
That was different. But
sorry, I've been into Yellow Jackets.
I get it, but...
We started it on vacation, and I was like, this is going to be dumb.
Speaking of vacation, Tim...
I had like lost vibes, and I couldn't...
Your family was in town for like 58 years.
My brother... From L.A., his family, they were in town for 2 full weeks. That's a long time.
That's a very long time.
So we played host. We took them to Disney. We vacationed with
we
them.
We were at
the
Disney at
them.
The same time and did not see each other.
Were we at different parks?
I think so. But we were.
I noticed because I was over here having to pay for Genie Plus while you were DASing for free.
Oof. Yeah.
I saw all of your plans
all
coming up. And I was. I mean, it works. Both of them work. One is just a whole lot more money.
And one of them requires hours and hours and hours of occupational therapy and things like that that you take your children to. But still.
Matt's wondering, what did LFO stand for?
I think it was like light, funky something. I don't know.
That can't be right. Also, CJ says he'd wear the shirt, the actual one that I'm wearing. So we have someone who's willing to buy our merch.
Their second album had the song Every Other Time on it, which was also great. No, 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 no. Big LFO guy. Also, Girl on TV, great song.
Richard's wondering what's going on. He has no idea. Richard must be a first-time watcher.
No, he's been around.
He says, it's entertaining, going away for a bit, and the world changed. We did go away for a bit. Richard, did you go away for a bit?
But we're back now, and we're ready to dive in.
Maybe we all went away for a bit.
The week in ministry that was, Tim.
Oh, and it was a week, buddy.
Light, funky ones. There you go.
Wow. Wow. So I was coming off vacation, first time preaching in 2 weeks. Didn't preach last week, which, by the way, that was a whole thing. I was at Animal Kingdom when one of my elders texted me, hey, our guest preacher is being rushed to the hospital.
How have you not told me this?
We haven't talked.
We are friends.
I mean, this was probably 40 hours from first service. And I just responded, I'll be home. You know, I can be home tomorrow and I can prep a sermon and I can preach. We've done that before, not the end of the world. He said, no, let me check with the rest of the elders. And another elder chimed in and said, actually, I'm good. I can preach. I've got an upcoming mission trip. I can talk about that. I can move into discipleship and evangelism. So I had an elder step up to the plate with a 40-hour notice. It was awesome. He said, nope, Tim, do not come home. We want you to take this vacation. You need a Sunday off. I haven't missed a Sunday
since football season.
It's been a while. That was January. I haven't missed a Sunday in a while. I'm really thankful that he stepped up. And guess what, Andrew? Sunday happened.
Yeah,
I wasn't
it happened
there
without you.
It was a weird feeling. I wasn't there, and it still happened. But I will say, like, the stress level for about 20 minutes while I was at Animal
Kingdom. Okay, so do I leave? Does the family stay here? Mm-hmm.
I was running through all the scenarios. Orlando's not that far.
No, it's not.
Could have left Saturday night. I could have left Sunday morning, really.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to risk that. So we had a guest preacher last week. Knew we were kicking off a new book of the Bible this week. We're in Galatians. You gave me some great tips on how to preach Galatians.
Just the tips of Galatians, yes.
Just great tips.
Thank you.
And Andrew, I don't know if you know this.
I'm very aware.
But I found a way. And any time I get to bring up Andrew Larson in a sermon, I will gladly do it.
Jake just said we all had a week away. That's a reference to the great summer camp movie on Netflix. Have you watched that? Like the weird, it's like Camp Rock, but with the
Skit Guys.
No, that was different.
Oh.
A Week Away was the name of
the camp. Didn't the Skit Guys do like a
They did one that bombed
family
horribly.
Camp.
Yes, but A Week Away was the name of the camp that, what's his name? Todd Packer is like the head counselor. So it's like a weird Christian movie where Todd Packer is the main spiritual leader. What's his name in
that is so scary.
In Anchorman? Whammy.
Yes.
But so they're like Amy Grant is in the movie. It's wonderful.
Oh, Steph. Yes, we watched it. It took me a minute. Yes, I did see it. We watched it together because it had all of the classic
all
music.
The songs.
Like I Again, loved
it
the
was,
soundtrack.
It was Camp Rock if the soundtrack was CCM music from 1992.
Like Stephen Curtis Chapman was just jamming.
Yeah.
Michael W. Smith was in there. Richard says Family Camp didn't bomb. He's a avid Family Camp fan. Chip. Thank you, CJ. Chip was his name.
There you go.
Oh my goodness.
But so Timmy, yes, as you were saying, you were preaching. Through Galatians.
We're great friends, so anytime I get to bring up, hey, you know, Andrew helped me with a sermon, he had a great illustration, or
when you can mock me.
I was not mocking. You know what?
It felt like mockery.
What if we roll the clip and we let everyone else decide if this was mockery? I feel like this was just like a great call out.
You need to look at Matt Coyne's comment first.
Matt says, when I preached through Galatians at our church, I read circumcision party and said, doesn't sound like much of a party to me. It was only about a month in at our church. I offended a few, but many laughed, so I felt good about it. That's really good. I'm probably going to, I'm going to use that. Circumcision jokes galore are in the works. Like, how can you not? It's Galatians.
It's Galatians. There's a lot of circumcision content in there.
Which is what prompted a little bit of this next bit that we're going to watch with you. Are you ready?
I mean, my sermons typically aren't made of bits, because I take myself.
I clipped it out. I'm calling it a bit. Would you calm down?
It's a bit for this show.
It's a bit for the show.
There we go. Hit play. Just do your thing.
Look, just because someone is yelling doesn't mean they're angry, okay? That same pastor buddy of mine who was telling me to be prepared to talk about circumcision, he also has quite a few comments on my preaching style. He often says to me, Tim, why do you shout so much? Are you just an angry person? I'm not mad. I'm just passionate. Look, you preach sitting down and I fall asleep trying to listen to you. Hope you're watching, Andrew.
I even said, hope you're watching, Andrew. That was clearly out of love.
I thought it was...
I pointed to the camera as if pointing directly to you.
It was unkind. It was hurtful. Tim... I mean, we're here. If you'd like to make a public apology.
It wasn't in the manuscript?
The best jokes are never in the manuscript. The worst jokes are also never in the manuscript. The things that get you in trouble.
The best and the worst.
Are never the things that you are prepared to say in public.
Steph says, our 10-year-old daughter did ask me what circumcision was, and everyone around us started giggling. Apparently, she asked louder than she meant to. I made the joke that, yeah, we're going to talk a lot about circumcision. So if you'll note the screens behind me, I've got a few diagrams, which that was the joke. I didn't actually have any diagrams there. But I did say, if you're still curious, go ahead and ask your mom or your dad, maybe your dad.
And then
Zoe.
And then your daughter did.
She needed to know. This is going to be the whole show. CJ says, I asked a friend how much he got paid for doing a circumcision. He said $500. I said, that's a lot for a little tip.
Timmy, here's the thing. I do sit down to preach.
You sit down while you preach? Both things I said were true. You have also called me out for shouting. I'm not a yeller. I'm just, as I said, I'm passionate.
I feel like your children... I'd like to
energetic.
Be a fly on the wall.
I get excited.
Because the preachers that you hear, you know, kind of yell, I always wonder, like, what does it sound like when they're mad at their kids? Is it bad? Like, or like Robin Williams, you know, the way he would like be the manic energy. I always thought, like, what would it look like when he was, you know, disciplining a
unruly child? I'm trying not to laugh.
I know. That's
the hardest part about parenting. Like,
unless they're talking
unless
they're, like, being rude when I'm watching a Rays game, then I'm really mad. That's a different thing.
Like, trying to be serious sometimes is tough for me.
But
I can get mad. I can get angry.
But, Tim, when you say that you fall asleep, that's hurtful.
That,
Timmy, I might be a calm preacher. I sit down. I, again, have my
I've never actually fallen asleep while you preach.
I was going to say,
that was for the laugh.
We don't have a huge room. I could tell when someone does, and, well, he's not an elder anymore, but that's okay.
Stephanie, that's not true.
Tim, I'm just saying.
Steph said I don't discipline the kids.
I might sit down.
You get tired. It's a long walk from the second row up to the stage.
First of all, I'm in the back because I'm in the back of the room, so it's a way longer. Now, not as long of a walk as it is when Frank is preaching at Epicos. That's different.
That is
a way longer walk. But, Timmy, I don't think anyone's ever accused me of being a boring preacher. Now,
no.
I've been accused of being a heretic.
Yes.
And I've been accused of trying to be too funny. I've been accused of trying to be a professor, not a preacher. But boring is not one that I've ever had.
You're not boring. That was not
true. I expect another clip next week where you, again, it's the book of Galatians. So we're going to get into some interpersonal conflict among church leaders. And
can I build this in?
Yeah.
A formal apology? From the stage?
I think.
I kind of saw this as a challenge to you. Like, can you find a way to work me into a sermon
at
Safety Harbor?
We are going through 1 Peter. We started that yesterday.
Okay.
And so we're talking about people standing firm in the faith when there's the tendency to walk away. And there are a lot of people that have been at your church that have figured that they should just walk away. And I get that.
CJ says, I like those Baptist breathing preachers. Like, if you grew up in a Baptist church, you know exactly what CJ's talking about. I wonder what it's like when they talk to anyone. Like, we've talked about this before, but it's that guy that as soon as he steps on stage or in the pulpit or has the microphone on, his voice immediately changes.
We have one of those here in our community. He's a friend of mine. We do the sunrise service together down at the pier. And I had never heard him preach. I had, you know, had.
You've talked to him? Okay, that's good. So you've actually had conversations with him.
We go to lunch together a couple times a year, to plan out these. And he is just this soft-spoken, mild-mannered person.
And then he got on stage.
It was outside. It was like the Sunrise Community Service. It's not even like there is no pulpit to pound. Like, you have a music stand at 7 a.m. on Easter. And he goes full-on Southern Baptist preacher voice. And I'm like,
who are you?
Oh, I've never met this guy before.
I attended and graduated from a Southern Baptist seminary, and in my preaching classes, we would have to like watch clips of these guys and make fun of them.
Good.
Like, it was like, don't do this. Like, was there a time when it was please do this and then it shifted?
I guess.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Some things are cultural. Like, I think that's more of a Southern thing than it is, you know, if you're in Chicago or in the Pacific Northwest. I don't know.
But Stephanie says, our daughter's friend, that's a boy, quote, we're not a thing. We're just a thing, not a label. That's apparently a real quote. Really likes your preaching.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Laura says, there's a TikTok account of a weatherman who works song lyrics into his forecast.
Yes. I've seen him do, like, you know, Taylor Swift every day for a month. Very exciting.
Someone DM'd me and said, this clip is the equivalent of rappers calling out other rappers in a song.
I thought my response was funny.
Your response was funny.
I was surprised by how many people commented on it. I said something like, you know, those sermons keep you awake when you preach them as your own a month later.
Yeah, it was funny.
And people were commenting as, you know, ooh, shots fired. I can't believe you called him out. We shared Dropbox.
To be fair, I fired the first shot, so
yes.
I was expecting a shot in return.
But, Tim, why do your own research when your friend can do it for you?
We have shared a Dropbox account
since 2012?
A long time.
It's
anytime I have a text where I know you have preached or
vice versa.
I will read through the manuscript. If there's a nugget, if there's a goodie in there, I'm using it.
we just did a series on Ruth, and Tim, I gleaned heavily. That was a Ruth joke. In
Ruth is so good. Don't you wish it was a little longer? Like, I don't know. It's just so much fun. Like, Old Testament narrative is so much fun.
So
it preaches itself.
Speaking of that, so we went from Ruth to 1 Peter.
Yeah.
So we're 4 weeks in 1 Peter. It's a 5-chapter book, and chapter 5 is not really to the whole church. So we're doing 4 weeks in 1 Peter. Mm-hmm. But, Tim, I think I've got this rotation for myself after doing 32 weeks of Acts.
You had the longest series
of my life. Yep. Like, probably of my life. I don't know that I would do something else that long. And it was great and wonderful.
Until you go through the Gospel of John.
But I think my plan is going to be going forward, because I love Old Testament narratives, but getting to Jesus is sometimes tricky in Old Testament narratives. You have to go out of your way to find that.
Sometimes.
But so sometimes.
Not all the time.
So I think my plan is, at least for the rest of this calendar year, I'm going to go Old Testament narrative, epistle, gospel, Old Testament narrative. And so I'm going to get...
There's no way you're covering a gospel in one...
No, I'm not going to cover a gospel.
You'll have to pick a section or a chunk.
But a specific... So we're going to do... So we're finishing 1 Peter on July 2nd. Then I'm gone for 2 weeks.
You're only doing 4 weeks in 1 Peter?
4 weeks in 1 Peter. And then we're going to do like a Harmony of the Gospels thing. So more of like the New Testament Survey 101, why was each book written kind of thing.
That's
kind of
cool.
And then...
How many weeks will you do that?
So that'll be, I think, just a 4 week or one for each. Just a very
broad strokes,
broad stroke overview. And then
that's cool.
I'll go back to the Old Testament. And so I think, and by doing that, I think that has me doing 4 weeks of the gospel during Advent. Also, Advent's going to be weird this year if you're following a liturgical calendar.
We might be.
Because of Christmas Eve is Sunday. And so typically the fourth...
Andrew, Melissa says Mr. Carver would be proud.
Thank you. The fourth Sunday of Advent is the Sunday before Christmas Eve. So you like the fourth candle Sunday morning and then the fifth candle Sunday night.
I don't know how to do that.
That part's going to be a little bit trickier, but I think it's going to work out.
We are bringing
well.
Back the Advent candle this
Good.
Year.
I love it.
We kept going through John, and it was fine. Like, it was great, but I missed the tradition. But might be good because we took a year off the tradition. So now it's like, oh, it's a return. That's kind of fun.
I think the Advent candle is a great way to get families that, you know, there are the families who are.
She was talking about the Harmony of the Gospels.
Yes, I know. I knew what she was saying.
Well, she wanted to make sure everyone.
My wife's very excited because she hasn't been able to watch.
My wife
for,
here. Yeah,
you
this
know,
is Stephanie's first time back. Our wives are here.
But
this is exciting.
Timmy with the Advent candles.
They heard that we have our exclusive rights to the show. Like, we're finally, they boycotted for months.
That's not what was going on. There was nothing to boycott. I was just stockpiling all of the files so that I could use them for my research. Legitimate reason why I wanted to have the file. And I've been sending you analytics already.
He's very excited to have the numbers.
I like
seven
analytics.
People watched yesterday.
That's not
so
true.
Cool. That was so cool.
Because we published 20 plus episodes at once. So it was a good day. We'll probably never have a day like that again. But Timmy, as I was saying, when you're doing the Advent candles, you get families that are typically not up front, typically not holding the microphone, up front holding a microphone.
Or on video.
Either way,
they're up front.
It's a way to kind of highlight families. I think it's a wonderful thing.
I have no problem with it. We've also been doing the Old Testament, New Testament flip-flop. So we finished the Gospel of John. We went into Jonah. Now we're in Galatians. And then we'll probably do Lamentations.
How long will you be in Galatians?
12, 13 weeks. Not terribly long. But, I think it's 13 weeks.
So about a week and a half per chapter?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Because there's six chapters in Galatians. It'll flow smooth. It might take a bit longer because camp, vacation. So we'll have a few guest preachers sprinkled in. I don't know if I'm going to get
them. And you're not going to like assign them a passage. It's
my dad's preaching and he's really good about it. So I could assign, yeah. I could assign him one of them, or I could just let him do his thing. And then
if a guest preacher is a part of the church, I think that's different than if, you know, it's a missionary coming in on furlough or whatever it may be.
I've got a missionary preaching at the end of the month. He's just going to preach. Mm-hmm. Like, and I love that. He hasn't preached at Lakeview in a while. So we're excited to have him, but I'm not going to give him Galatians.
I get it.
We'll do Lamentations. And then possibly 1 Corinthians.
That's going to be a long one. If you think the circumcision talk is awkward, wait until you have some of the 1 Corinthians stuff. So I'm truly making a conscious effort to try to lean into the epistles more.
Yeah.
Because so much of preaching through the epistles is here's this 5 or 6 verse chunk.
Right.
And I could spend 18 minutes on that, but do I want to combine 2 chunks and have point A, point B of the same sermon? And if you're going verse by verse through a whole thing, there's just some awkward things that are going to make people uncomfortable, but that's part of it.
That's the point. Because we might be expositional preachers, but in reality, there's a different topic every week.
Yes.
Like, that's kind of the beauty of it.
Yeah.
We still have topics that we cover based on what the text presents.
Absolutely.
As a few of my church members have told me, what's the rush? I often joke about, I get it, this series has been way too long, we probably should pick up the pace, and then I'll immediately hear from
if you were 64 and there were 3 books that you wanted to preach on before you retired,
yeah, I get that
would be one thing, but
I'm 35.
You're good. You've got the time to preach through it all.
Yeah. So we're just gonna keep trekking along and enjoying it.
So yesterday
was Sunday.
And we started a new series, and I had some unexpected family time this past week.
Oh, boy.
We were kind of getting ready, gearing up for our Disney excursion, and Melissa was like, oh, hey, by the way, you remember, of course I didn't remember, that she was, you know, she had transferred her teaching license from Texas to Florida, and some things were different, so she had to do an additional endorsement, and so she was in a classroom getting her endorsement done all of last week. So I was not in the office much, so I didn't have as much sermon prep time as I typically did. So by the middle of the week, I had gone over what we were doing. I sent it to our praise team, and I really started to like work hard on it towards the end of the week.
Proud of you.
And I was like, this is going to be a rough I didn't think it was going to land well. And so naturally, it landed really well. And I had more people coming up to me after service talking about how much it meant or whatever the comment might have been, because whenever I think something is not going to go well, that's when God kind of is like, hey, Andrew, you're really not that good on your own. I got this. And it was one of those cool moments of, hey, I would not have emphasized what the emphatic point of the text was if I was writing this,
mm-hmm.
but God is clearly smarter than I am.
I love
it. And it worked out really well.
Stephanie says, Tim.
That's your name.
That's my name. Oh, this is actually a really good topic. We could probably cover a bulk of a show on this. Sunday morning missionaries would be a great topic sometime. This is from Matt. I have really been struggling having them speak because the last 3 that spoke have made it a money grab instead of preaching. That can happen.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear if you have rules or anything like that when they come in. We do. I don't know about you, but we do have rules.
Did you give them a PDF?
I actually have them.
No logos on your t-shirt?
Typically,
no ripped jeans.
They will work closely with our missions outreach team.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike Ryan, former elder, leads the mission outreach team. He will work with the missionary guest speaker. So he'll kind of have an idea of what they're going to be talking about. And they'll also know that, hey, remember, you are already a Lakeview-funded missionary.
Mm-hmm.
If there is another ask or a need, let us know, and we'll present that. So from time to time, yeah, there's an additional ask, and we'll go to the congregation. But Mike does a great job of introing our missionaries because he always tells the congregation, this is where your tithes and offerings are already going.
Mm-hmm.
Like this to support this missionary. So that helps us tremendously to make sure we communicate to our congregation, you're already supporting this missionary. And then our missionaries know if there's a specific need, like you need a truck in Nicaragua, which happened one time for our missionaries, let us know. We'll put up the congregation and we'll get you a truck, which we did. But for the most part, we don't have our missionaries come in to speak for money grabs. It's legitimately to hear them, mm-hmm. to get an update, to pray for them, to tell them how much we love them. And usually we'll pray them out at the end to kind of, you know, commission and send them out back to wherever it is they're going.
I like that a lot because, yeah, it can be awkward.
Yeah.
And especially if there's different churches have different cultures when it comes to missions giving as well. And so, you know, I grew up in a church where we would have the separate offering, like, hey, here's the offering for the church.
The love
offering for the missionary after. And we're not going to leave until we have X amount of dollars in that love offering.
We'll pass the plates again policy.
If we have to.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
What we do allow for is our missionaries to set up a table out in the courtyard. Mm-hmm. They can highlight any key projects they have coming up. And if anybody wants to give,
if you want to get on the mailing list, if you want any of that, by all means.
We always tell our congregation, you can give above and beyond your normal tithes and offerings if you'd like to further support this missionary. CJ says, going through the book of Titus now. Thanks for the suggestion, Tim. CJ, did I give you the Dropbox? Did you preach Titus yet?
I have not preached Titus here.
I hope I have already given it to you. He says, went through Titus 1:5-9 yesterday. I was concerned because the last pastor, oh boy, had an affair. Ooh. And was asked to resign after not cooperating with the leadership.
Yeah, I was.
If you remember, we went through the book of Titus.
Yes, like.
I'm not going to say my heart was in a bad place. I'm just saying that if you're reviewing those manuscripts and it comes across a bit cynical or
a bit snarky,
maybe a little too snarky. That was young Tim who had. I mean, I was in process of being voted on as lead pastor of Lakeview Church. So I was really.
And
I don't know.
And
you know what? I'm not going to go back and read those manuscripts.
You know what? I'll say.
Let me know how
Tim,
it is.
Well, let me just say that there were two no votes. Yeah. And
three.
And there was existing elders and a spouse. And so there might have
not there anymore.
There might have been some pointed comments towards the. Yeah. So, Timmy, you have not been kept informed on this, but here's what some of the fun things that we've had going on lately.
Yes, Matt, he says he likes the idea of having someone from the church introduced. I love that because it gets me off the platform and someone else up there. But, yeah.
COVID is the mark of the beast. Yeah, that's a fun sermon.
Someone told me that like a week ago. Like, I'm like, we're still talking about this? Conspiracy theories are fun. Good.
You can't be wrong. You have to lean into it.
CJ says, I did. See, I was hoping I did.
Timmy, in the time since our last episode together, you'll notice when we go out to lunch here in a little bit that
getting hungry.
Walking through the parking lot, there's a new paved area that had not been paved before.
I'm listening.
We had our neighbor. We have a newish neighbor. The previous neighbor was someone who loved the church. The house was kind of fallen apart in a few areas.
So it's the new neighbor that's been giving you issues?
The new neighbor has been giving us tons of issues.
I didn't realize that
they were the ones that had cut.
That makes way more sense.
Had a tree. Asked us to remove a tree for the sake of their roof. And then I was like, hey, now that the tree's gone, we need you to move that dumpster. Like, they've just been bullies. So we've been telling them for months, hey, you can pave this. You can use our parking lot for the paving company to get to your part of the alleyway.
Sure.
But we're not interested in our part. And so they were like, okay, well, you have until this day. If you want to decide, they'll have the equipment here. They'll have the stuff here. And sure enough, the day came and they paved their part of the alley and then our part of the parking lot that had not been paved and then sent us an invoice.
Oh.
Of, you know.
That was nice
of
them.
Not a huge. And I
then
got to reach out to the paving company and be like, hey, here's what's going on with that neighbor. Here are all of the emails to that neighbor telling him that we were not interested in having that part paved.
Wow.
So being that we've never met you and you did not have a contract with us and we're not going to yell at you for paving a part of our parking lot that we didn't ask to have paved, which we could.
You're going to have to show me this spot.
Yeah, like we could be like, hey, can you come back out here and jackhammer up what you did, which would be silly.
Because we didn't give you approval to do it.
But we didn't give them. Like, yeah. Like, are you regularly in the habit of paving people's property that you've never met and don't have a contract with?
Tells me your neighbor might have said something.
So there's that with that neighbor.
Wow.
And then
they're watching the show.
We also had the city code enforcement board show up a couple weeks ago because other neighbors are upset that the children on the playground are playing and having fun.
That's still a thing?
That is still a thing to the point where they called code enforcement.
It's the middle of the day.
And you own a house that has increased fourfold in value since you've purchased it, adjacent to a playground at a building zone for a preschool.
I don't get it.
It's just really, really silly. And so it's funny for me because I'm not administratively gifted. No one would look at my life and be like, hey, do you know what? That guy should manage a facility. And sometimes being a senior pastor means that you have to be administratively gifted.
Especially when you have neighbors.
Yeah, like when you are when you actually have neighbors, not like, hey,
you are a neighborhood church.
We are, 1, 2, 3, 4. Our church property.
Our closest neighbor is an animal hospital.
Our church's property touches 5 houses. So it's just funny. Neighbors, man. And like, but also they're clearly in the wrong, and the city is acknowledging that they're in the wrong, and the paving company is acknowledging that they're in the wrong. And so part of me is like, hey, you were wrong. Shame on you. But also, I'm the pastor, and these are unchurched people.
Andrew, Laura does not like you putting yourself down. She says, stop it. Laura, I've been trying to stop him from doing this for years. He finds this type of humor to be the best type of humor. Laura says, you're doing a great job. You administrate by building relationships. I agree.
Some people find self-deprecating humor beneficial.
Deprecating. That's the right word.
Yeah. And other people find mocking their best friends during a sermon to be the kind of humor.
Of which are really a type of love language, Andrew.
But Laura,
how many other pastors have I ever mentioned in a sermon?
But by building relationships, so like I have relationships with these neighbors who they're not mad at me. Like the one is, it's the preschool.
You're the face of.
Yeah. But so how do I go like, hey, you're wrong. Knock it off. The city is.
Also, come to church on Sunday.
Also, Jesus loves you. He died for you. And you're clearly a sinner, which is why you're living with that woman 25 years younger than you. You know, like I can't.
Wow.
I want them to know this, but also.
Wow.
Don't be a bully to try to get your way. That's not cool.
Oh, my goodness.
So. It's just
you might, and I'm going to go out on a limb here.
I'm ready.
You might need to have an elder step in and help with this because, I mean, really, by definition, elders should be helping with these issues. I'm not trying to be mean.
With the paving company, it was I said something, and the paver I called the guy who owns a paving company, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I think your neighbor did mention that you guys actually needed some kind of a board approval or something," and I was but. The part that we own that they paved is maybe 6 feet by like 20 feet. And so they already had the equipment here. They already had the guys here. It took them one pass of like leveling or whatever they call it, where they like scrape the one thing up before and maybe 2 bags of asphalt. So it cost them $200 in labor, man hours, and equipment and materials. And they made a buttload of money from the neighbor anyway. So I feel bad for them. And if the paving company was like, hey, we're sorry, can you give us like a tax write-off letter? Absolutely, I would do that. But they haven't asked, and I wouldn't give one to the neighbor for it. But if the paving company asked, it's the fun things that we get to do as administrators.
They weren't in the job description.
Nobody,
is that safe to say?
Again, nobody hires a pastor. Nobody hires a main teaching, preaching pastor for the administrative abilities. They hire us based on the 2 DVDs of a half an hour sermon, and then they get stuck with us the rest of the week.
What DVD?
I don't know. I'm just like trying to think of, you never saw a job post? It's like, hey, please send a DVD of a recent sermon.
That is
I'm
too
older
much.
Than you. I realize that.
That is too much. Andrew, here's the deal. It's
that time.
Look, it's well afternoon.
I'm hungry.
I'm getting hungry. I didn't have breakfast. I had a protein shake.
We have another podcast that we can now freely promote and talk about.
Wow.
Not that we couldn't before, but like we can lean into the joys of practically pastoring.
That is the Practically Pastoring podcast.
It's a little bit more serious.
It's more serious, but it's with our friends.
It is. It's very fun.
Like we can still be us, but we get to be us with other
pastors. We get to be
grown-ups.
We have to be grown-ups.
Look, we'll be back next week, I think.
Next Monday. I'm here. Are you here?
Yeah. I don't leave for camp for a couple weeks.
And we know how to do the virtual thing now. We're pretty good at it.
We could go virtual from camp. That'd be fun.
Your
camp is in July. Mine's at the end of June.
Mine is July 10th.
Mine is the last week
Alabama.
Of June.
It'll be exciting.
Oh, that could be fun.
Hey, we love you. Come hang out next week. We'll be here.
We'll see you real soon.